I don't know if I can do this. Before we left home this morning, Beer said, now, don't mention anything that this is your last message. Ray and Jeff spoiled that. And I do plan to fill in just like Brother Bob and Brother Fred and even Brother Harold. But as far as the schedule is concerned, I will no longer participate in that. Many ministers, including Brother Harold and Brother Fred and many others, have served this congregation a lot longer than I did. But it's been my joy, as being called by God, to serve one of the most wonderful congregations there is. I realize I haven't been in as many congregations as some of the ministers have. And wherever the Lord called, I tried to fill in. But I tell you, I always look forward to coming back to Pleasant Hill, because you're my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I love you with all my heart. And I will continue to love you. And I want to say the same thing that Samuel, the prophet, the priest, said to the children of Israel. God forbid that I would quit praying for you. First Peter chapter 5, and I didn't prepare a message as a goodbye message, but I prepared a message that I want to give as a warning to you. But as we looked at the, this is not my normal thing. As I looked over the scripture that was read in verses 2 and 3, is my, I should have said my goodbye message, in a sense. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, and that was my desire. The years that God has given me in your midst. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither being as lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That has been my desire. And I hope you felt it. But the message this morning goes down, the scripture for the morning goes down further. Brother Jim, it's so good to see you. How we praise the Lord. Just to see your face this morning. The scripture we're actually going to take out of the 10th verse. Where it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. For many years, We had enjoyed a time of prosperity and plenty. As someone has put it during that prosperous time, it said, times are good, good, good. And everyone thought it would just keep on going. But as we very well know, it didn't. In 2008, there has been a change in the feelings and the conditions of the population of America. And not only in this country, but pretty much all over the world. Some people called it an economic downturn, an economic collapse, a change in our lifestyle, a loss of monetary value, a drop in the value of stocks and bonds. But we can be encouraged, we're not alone. It's taken place pretty much all over the world. As we listen to newscasts or read the paper, we find that other countries are struggling equally just as much as we are. They're struggling to keep their financial markets solvent, and the threat of a whole country going bankrupt, something which we would have never imagined, seems not only possible, but even probable. Even global markets, the stock market, not only in the United States, but in other countries as well, goes either up or down. As we look at some of the difficulties that other countries have, Greece, Italy, and many countries in Europe are struggling to pay their bills. Even in our own state, our capital of Harrisburg had to be taken over by the state government in order to keep it from going bankrupt, because of a $580 million debt. The unemployment rate rising higher than it's been for years. People are losing their jobs due to the economy, and there are no jobs to find. Foreclosures of homes appear in our papers on a regular basis. And personal bankruptcies are a reality due to exorbitant interest rates on their credit card debts. And we could go on and mention many more situations just like that. But I think that's enough. We realize that things have changed. Is it any wonder that people are in a state of anxiety then? On every hand, there's an increase of uneasiness and unrest. And coupled with the wars and uprisings and turmoil in many parts of the country, of the world, and some that we are engaged in, people are more unsettled and shaken than they have ever been before. It would seem as though the very foundations of our social and economical life are being torn apart. And the sad part of it is, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. But not only do we see these conditions in the world, and we might almost expect that it might be that way, seeing the conditions that are existing, If we aren't careful, as children of God, those same anxieties and fears and uneasiness can creep into our churches and into our lives and choke the spiritual life out of us. But it ought not so to be. A child of God, one who has accepted Christ as his or her Savior and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, should be known by different kinds of traits than the person out in the world. The latter part of verse 10 of our text in 1 Peter 5, we want to pick out three descriptions of what a Christian should be like. And that, no matter what the conditions are on the outside. The first word we find is establish. The second word is strengthened. The third word is perfect, settled. Excuse me. First of all, we want to look at being established. And as we look into the secular view of it, we realize that each business and even each building, whether it be a house or whether it be a huge building or whether it be a skyscraper, every building needs a foundation. And we know that every builder knows that that the foundation of a building is the most important part. No matter how elaborate the building is, no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how ornate it is, if it has a poor foundation, if that foundation is weak, it's not going to last. Slowly and surely, beginning at the foundation, it will begin to crumble, and later on it will fall. Imagine a skyscraper with a weak foundation. As I look at pictures, and by the way, in 1989, my two brothers and their wives and Vera and I were in the two buildings that are no longer existing, the World Trade Center. And we were up on the very top of it, and you could even feel that building sway back and forth. And you know, as we talked to people, he said they had better sway. Otherwise, they'll break. But nevertheless, that foundation to those two buildings was secure. Of course, we realize by now that no matter what that foundation was like, it's gone. The building's gone because of terrorist attack. How long would a building last? Well, as important a good solid foundation is in a building, it's even much more important in a person's spiritual life. We must establish our Christian life on a solid foundation. Both in Luke chapter 6, verse 47 and 49, and in Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 29, Jesus warns his hearers about the kind of foundation they must have in building a house. Although Jesus used the example of building a house, something that everyone understood that was in the audience, he had a deeper, much greater spiritual application for those examples. Each of us are, in a sense, building a spiritual house. And in that sense, we must be certain that the foundation of our spiritual house, our Christian walk, our Christian life, is based on something or someone who is solid, strong, true, someone that will last. For you see, each of our spiritual walk is not necessarily always going to be smooth. I'm sure each of us have experienced that. I know I have. I've been tempted and tried physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Things have come into my life, same as to your life, that have tried us and tested us. There will be rains of testing, floods of trials, storms of problems, and winds of adversity that will threaten to sweep us away. The Bible doesn't always promise us prosperity and peace and plenty. When the opposite happens, we need to have a foundation that will not crumble when it comes to pass. And it will come to pass. I don't believe one person in this audience this morning is exempt from it. But how do we react? Where's your foundation? Where's my foundation this morning? Our foundation must be in Jesus Christ, the rock of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Why? 2 Timothy 2:19 gives us the answer. "The foundation of God, which is Jesus Christ, standeth sure." That word "sure" means that it will never crumble, it will never fall, it will never sway, it will never give away. And no matter what happens, when your house, your spiritual house, is built on that rock, you can be sure. No matter how shaky and unsure other foundations and people get, when you build your life, spiritual life, on that foundation, the rock, all the winds of this world cannot shake you. It doesn't matter what takes place on the outside, whether it be the economic wars, economy, whether it be wars, whether it be elections, whether it be immorality, whether it be apostasy, all these winds will blow all around us. But praise God, because of our strong foundation, we can stand firm and true. The closer we get to the end times, I believe the stronger the winds of adversity will blow, the harder those tests will be. But we have the promise that where tests and trials abound, God's grace will that much more abound. What is my foundation like? What is your foundation like? Is it crumbling? Is it deteriorating? How sad that so many in our time today are crumbling. It makes our hearts ache that so many who were strong and firmly fixed in the teachings of Scripture in times past now are breaking down in their spiritual walk. Let's affirm with a strong conviction that our spiritual life will be founded on that solid rock, Christ Jesus. And then secondly, we want to look at strengthened. Not just to be strengthened one time, but rather to continue increasing in strength. That's the idea behind it. Not just one time occasion, but day by day, as the different winds of diversity flow against us, each one of us needs to realize that the strength is there. It's available. Now, I'm sure you realize that Peter was not talking about the physical. As we all experience As we grow older, our strength decreases. But that does not have to happen in the spiritual. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, though our outward man perish, and he will. Sometimes it's a slow process. I've discovered that. This body of mine is perishing, and it leaves me know almost on a daily basis that it's headed that way. But it does not have to be true of the spiritual. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Each day, God gives us the spiritual strength to wage war against the wiles of the devil, against the situations that are going against us, the things that are happening on the outside. We are going to be stronger. We receive the strength to be able to fight that on a daily basis. But we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This says, this area, we can help each other. And it's been my desire through the few years that the Lord has given me the ministry of the gospel to do that, to edify one another. Romans chapter 14, verse 9 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things which one may edify one another. The idea is that we as fellow believers are part of one body, should do nothing to hinder each other, but to help each other, to build each other up. The word edify in the German language means aufbauing. It means to build on top of the foundation, one on top of the other. Is that your desire? It's my desire, and continues to be my desire, whether I stand behind this pulpit or not. My desire is to build each of us up, to encourage each other. You know, let's look at the natural. Would any part of your body do something to hinder another part? No, the very idea is ridiculous. Why would I hinder my hand from being able to perform the duties that are before me? But so many times we hinder the growth of fellow believers. Christ has given us apostles and prophets and evangelists and ministers and teachers. And he gave them for a purpose, not just for something to show off with. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Jesus Christ. But it's not only a few select members, but for each of us. There should be no greater joy in a circle of believers than to see the strengthening, the upbuilding of a fellow believer. It should give us joy. Then exhorting to earnestly urge each other on. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Daily. And whenever you have the occasion, whenever you have the opportunity to exhort each other, to build each other up, to urge one another on. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or urging. The word would be urging each other so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are you helping a brother or a sister to be strengthened and grow? It's also important for us to strengthen ourselves in the things of the Lord. In overcoming difficulties, and there are plenty to overcome, let's just simply help each other along. Compared to an athlete, while some may have some natural abilities, most athletes have to train, lift weights to become stronger in order to succeed, and they do it to receive a corruptible crown, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9:25. How much more should we become strong in order to gain an incorruptible crown? A crown that, according to the scripture, fadeth not away. We should become strong in our faith. Do we believe that God has all things in control? In hope, the hope of eternal life, hope in the Lord, hope to the end. Love toward God and our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Zeal, the ardent devotion to our Lord. And then finally, we need to be settled. Not only establish you on a right foundation or basis and give you increasing power, but he will also make you immovably firm. While people out in the world are unsettled, always rolling with the tide of uncertainty, a Christian should be known by being solid, stable, and settled. He knows what the Bible teaches and believes it, and he is firmly and deeply rooted in them. False teachings will abound. They will bombard you from every side. Homosexuality, all kinds of immorality will bombard you. Stand firm and true and realize that whenever God says it's a sin, it's a sin. No matter what the population says, no matter what the outside world says it is, they will tell you that it's a different lifestyle. God said, no, it's not just a different lifestyle. It's a sin. And the circumstances around us should not shake us. There are so many people today who are driven by every wind of doctrine. The American people are very gullible. They believe almost anything. That's why almost all the leaders of false cults come to the United States. They know they'll get a ready audience, a ready following, no matter what the teaching is. We claim to be a Christian nation, but the majority of people haven't the slightest idea what the Bible teaches. So when someone comes along with some new doctrine, people are ready to follow. Judgment is reserved for these false teachers. Let's be sure none of us follow them. The characteristics of a true believer is that he is settled on what he believes and he will not be shaken or driven by every wind of doctrine. Examine yourself. Are you settled? Stable? Solid? Can you say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For I know who I'm believing, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Are you that solid? If you can say that, then you can be described by the word that precedes the other three we've talked about, and that is, he will make you perfect. No, we're not talking about being sinless or being without fault, being without a blemish, but rather when the scripture talks about being perfect, it defines that word perfect in relation to the believer as being mature. And a mature person will not be driven by every wind of doctrine. They're going to be solid and strong and standing firm upon the Word of God. The Lord bless you. I'll probably be behind this pulpit again, but maybe not on a regular basis. But I'll never quit loving you. May God bless.